You're listening to Hashtag Truth in 5 with Jenny Muscatel, bringing you 5-minute episodes of weekly biblical truth to help you fill your cup. Join us each week on ChristianMix106.com or find us on your favorite app at Canyon Star TV Radio. This is Jenny Muscatel on Hashtag Truth in 5. I want to take a little time today to read from Matthew 2, which talks about the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. It says, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall call a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" That passage is referring to a prophetic message delivered by Micah in Micah chapter 5, which he used to encourage the faith of God's people when he told them, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she, who is in labor, bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." Now going back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, it goes on to say, "Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.'" But as we dive into this story a little bit more, we're going to see that that is not what Herod wanted to do. He says, "When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." When the Lord wants us to do something, he will speak to us, be it through his word, through prayer, through our circumstances, or even sometimes through a dream like he did with the wise men and like he was about to do through Joseph. It goes on to say, "Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.'" These words were spoken by Hosea in Hosea 11:1, and they parallel the promise of Abraham and the leadership of Moses, the calling of God's son, because the calling of God's son began from the origins of old, just like Micah had said. The story goes on to tell us that when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." That's not strong evidence to what obedience to following the will of God can do for us, then I don't know what is. God's protection and love and guidance can bring us out of the most hopeless dark places and put us in a place of safety and light. And for a season, things stayed this way. Then it goes on to say, "When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. Then he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene." Many Bible scholars believe this prophecy comes from Isaiah 53:3, where it says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain," because we know that in Jesus' day, he was despised and rejected. Nazareth was a small town just north of Jerusalem, and it had a negative reputation. Galilee was generally looked down upon by Judeans, and Nazareth of Galilee was especially despised. Can you imagine what it would have been like to go through history and hear these different prophesied events that were going to happen and wonder, how are all of those going to be tied together? They just don't make sense. This one says that this plan has been in place since the days of old, and this person's going to be coming from ancient times. Another one says it will be out of Bethlehem. Another one says he'll be called out of Egypt. Another one says that this king, this savior, is going to be despised and rejected, a man of suffering who's familiar with pain. I mean, can't you just see how that wouldn't make sense? That we have the fortunate knowledge to be able to look at history, to be able to see how all of those events played out. And it's important that we look to that, because as we know that there's going to be a second coming, Jesus is going to return one day, bring us to a place where there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're told that before that time comes, there are going to be many trials and tribulations. But we're also told in Revelation 3:11, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." God is so complex and intricate. The way that he can weave himself through all of our lives is simply remarkable. But sometimes God's a bottom liner, and he tells us the pieces we need to know. And we have to trust in him that all of it's going to play out just as he planned. And when we start to wonder, or we start to worry, or we think we need to know more information, we can look back to the birth, life, and death of Jesus and trust that his plan will be fulfilled. Because as Job acknowledges of God in Job 42:2, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we look around and we think things just don't make sense. But Lord, help us to trust in those circumstances, because you have shown us again and again that you have a plan. Help us to remember that your plan is for our good and it cannot be thwarted. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today on #TruthIn5, and thank you for listening to Christian Mix 106.
Thank you for listening to #TruthIn5. Remember to catch new episodes each Friday and Saturday at 5:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Christian Mix 106. To learn more about Jenny, you can visit her website at jennymuscatel.com.